around. And if you have one of these, open it up to the part on spiritually intimate relationships. Spiritually intimate relationships. Some of the things that I've enjoyed most about this weekend is just the beautiful hosting that's been done by Pastor Fred Tao and Ellie and just the whole group. I've been impressed with veterans of marriage, people who've been at it 2 and 3 decades, who came to see how they can continue to improve. And I've been impressed with couples who are just getting started. Maybe they're dating but not engaged yet, several engaged couples. If you're single and you're looking for someone, find one of the singles who came to the class this weekend, all weekend, because they are going to make great husbands or wives. And I'm impressed about the future of this church and the body and the fellowship here who believe in the sanctity of marriage. And I just think that there's so many wonderful things there. I want to start with a scripture reading. Let's go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2, and I think I'll begin at about, well, let me back up. Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created mankind in his image. He created them in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the living creatures that move on the ground." And then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing..." Let's see, there we go. Where are we? 29? Over the ground. Okay, so in verse 31, "And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Let me see if I have this. Thank you. Okay, so what we're going to talk about is spiritual intimacy today. And how do you know if you have spiritual intimacy, or if you need spiritual intimacy, or whatever that looks like? And so what we're going to talk about today, I hope, three things. One is that by the end of this time together, that you're going to have a better idea about how to do our relationship with God. Second, that we learn a different way, and what's similar between us and God, a different way to have a relationship with someone else. Some of you are single, and you're thinking, "Well, is this really going to apply to me?" And the answer is yes. Yes, because as you prepare for the day when you are, you need to become the person that you want to be. And so that's the second, is our relationship with the other. And the third is, I hope to give you a specific way to improve your relationship with God and with them. What does it look like to be spiritually bankrupt? How do you know when you're spiritually bankrupt? Well, here are some telltale signs. If you're angry most of the time, chances are you have a spiritual bankruptcy, that there's nothing in the bank account of a spiritual nature. If you find yourself angry and stuck in anger, where you want to rage against other people, and you're blaming God for where you are, you're blaming your spouse for where you are, or your fiance for where you are, if you're blaming your boss about how things are, if you're blaming the economy for where things are, if you're blaming our political system for where things are, you're probably in a place of limited spiritual intimacy, of near spiritual bankruptcy. If you're afraid, fear is another big indicator. If fear can be paralyzing, we can be afraid because we don't want to make the wrong decision, so because we don't want to make the wrong decision, we don't make any decision. And that paralyzing fear, we get stuck in looking for one more option. That may be a state of being in spiritual bankruptcy. Or if we're afraid to step out and say the things that we want to say, or that we need to say to our spouse. If we're afraid that we're going to be found out, that somebody is going to find out, and what if they ever find out, then we're probably in a state of limited spiritual intimacy or in a place of spiritual bankruptcy. If our life is full of drama, full of turmoil, full of chaos, if Jerry Springer's show and our life are more similar than different, we're in a place of spiritual bankruptcy. And so if we feel like we need to control other people, if our goal is to make sure that we're always in control, not only of ourselves, but everyone around us, or if we are stuck in a place where we always feel controlled, we're probably in a state of limited spiritual intimacy or in a place of spiritual bankruptcy. And so what I want to talk about is flip that. I want to talk about what are the benefits of spiritual intimacy. What does it look like and what does it feel like? Well, it's deeper levels of love and commitment. Sense of being a part of God's purpose. It's knowing that I'm a part of God's plan and knowing what that plan for me is in my life. It's a strong desire to live a lifelong marriage. We have talked a little bit about the state of marriage today. We have more people, the average is about 50%. 50% of marriages are ended in divorce. Now, first time marriages are less, the second time are more, and the third time are even more. But that's the state of marriage today. We have more and more people cohabitating, what we call playing like they're married. We have more people in that situation than ever before. Last year, here in Texas, we had more children born to homes with a single parent than we had children born to homes with two parents. That's a sad state of our situation in how we're doing marriage. Being in a marriage is different than having a strong desire for a lifelong marriage. And with spiritual intimacy, I believe that we have a strong desire for a lifelong marriage and we're after it in everything that we do. If we have spiritual intimacy, we'll have greater communication and we'll desire it. It'll be easy. We'll have a support network from other believers. And we have peace and blessing. You know, one of the things that is sometimes difficult to feel is this concept of personal responsibility, that I have a choice, that I have power to make my life different, and that I can move, and within boundaries, I can move and make my life better. Personal responsibility comes from having a clean spiritual intimacy. So we begin today talking about the spiritually intimate relationships. And so here's a different version than what we just read. The message, God spoke and he said, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature. So God created human beings. He created them godlike. In other words, we are not so different from God. We are more like God than different from God. And we reflect God's nature, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. So it's not just the man who is made in God's image. It's the female is made in God's image. And God blessed them and he said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth. And God looked over everything that he had made and it was so good. So very good. And we skip forward to Chapter 2, verse 18, at the beginning of that, it says, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper or a companion. There are some truths that I want you to take home with you. And if you'll open up your bulletin in the insert, I've created a little place for you to write some notes. And we'll fill those in together. So a couple of truths out of these scriptures. One is, we were built in God's image. We were built in God's image. And he looked at what he had built and he said, it is good. God made us very well. Now, I looked better like 20 years ago. I had hair and muscles. God built me really well then, but he built me on the inside like him. And God is good. And he built me good. He built me well. He built me good. And I'm so thankful that he built my wife so beautifully. Yeah? And I'm thankful that she's here with me. She can't come to every weekend. And I just want to say, in the middle of the sermon here, thank you for being the mother that my children always needed and being an incredible Proverbs 31 woman in my life. God bless you, David. So we were built in God's image. Here's the other thing. God built us to need him and to need each other. God built us to need him and to need each other. If we're walking around in life and we're wondering why it is that I feel so needy that I need somebody to tell me that I'm okay, that I'm out looking for somebody special in my life to tell me that I'm lovable or that I'm loved, it's because God put that need within us. God built us so that we would need him. And what happens so much is that we don't look for him, but we look for the meeting the need in other places. So we go outside of his design of what he built, and we go try to find and get that need met through things like achievement. Like if I achieve, if I become the next level, if I get a raise, if I'm promoted, if I am at the top of my class, if I'm number one in this competition, then somehow that need that I have will be filled. I don't know if you've ever won everything, if you've ever reached the top or not. I had an opportunity to do that a couple of times in my life in just a few areas, and it feels good, but it's fleeting. Because that's not what he built us to need. We need him. And so if you find yourself wondering why I've achieved so much and I'm still empty, it's because we've filled it with other things. Sometimes it's relationships that we go after. God built us to need each other too. And our needs are not because we're broken. Our needs are not because we are defective. God built us this way. He made us this way. So if someone ever says to you, you shouldn't feel so needy, you need to just accept that God and God alone is all you need. I hope that you'll challenge that and say, God said it's not good for me to be alone. I do need somebody else. I need somebody that has skin on that I can hug and hold. And so one of the things that's very interesting, and I don't expect you to read this, but I wanted to give you a visual. Over 40 times in the New Testament, the authors say to do an action to one another or to love one another. So here are some of them. Be at peace with one another. Love one another. Greet each other with a holy kiss. That doesn't mean for you single people that, you know, you just kind of, hey, it's good to see you. A holy kiss can be a hug. It can be a hug. It can be power. Whatever. A holy kiss, you know, whatever your holy kiss is. All right, greet one another with a holy kiss. When you come together, eat and wait for each other. I like that one. Serve one another in love. Carry each other's burdens. You know, be patient with each other. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Usually when we preach these things, when you hear those in Bible class and in a sermon, we usually think about that as how we should treat each other as Christians. So we treat our brothers and sisters in that way. And if we're going to treat our brothers and sisters that way, how much more important is it that we treat those in our own family this way? Our children this way? My spouse this way. So these are a lot of one another's. And the point that I want to make with this is that if he's telling us to do that to each other, is it not too far-fetched for us to think that if we need these things, that that's the way he built us? That we do need to be greeted when we come in a room and for people to say, hey, Roy's here. All right. Glad he's here. When we're feeling down, that we need somebody to come and be compassionate and empathic to us. And so our need in those respects are not because we're broken. Our needs are there because God made us this way. Our needs aren't what get in the way of spiritual intimacy. It's not our needs that get in the way. It's sin that gets in the way. And I think this is an interesting picture, and I love the way that this is written. It says that when they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, when they heard God walking through the garden, chances are that they had heard God walking in the garden before because they recognized it was him. This wasn't the first time that he shows up and walks through the garden. So my picture in my mind of what it looked like, the way that God made us originally, is me and my wife in the garden together, and God's walking around with us and talking with us and having fellowship with us, and there's nothing in the way of that. And my guess is that maybe a couple of days before, or maybe the same day, that God was walking in the garden with them because they knew what it felt like or what it sounded like to hear him walk. But something had happened, because before that, Satan had told a lie. He took the truth and just put a little twist on it. And Eve and Adam believed it. And they did the only thing that God told them not to do. And they sinned. So God didn't change how he interacted with them. But God's walking through the garden to talk and visit with them. And it says, and the man and his wife hid in the trees in the garden. They hid from God. They hid. God doesn't move from us. We let the stuff that we do get in the way between us and him. You hear what I'm saying? It's our sins in our life that get in the way, not of our intimacy, our fullness with God. And this is what it looked like, I think. Now, this is a highly technical drawing that I did myself. And if you want me to do some for you and your family, just let me know. But this is what it looked like in the beginning. This is what it looks like, I think, on our wedding day, when we stand up in front of everyone and we make a vow that we're going to, that it's God and us together forever. And the two become one, and we are with God. But when sin comes in our life, and in this case, I chose him. But when sin comes in our life, there's some brokenness between us and God. And remember, God doesn't change. We change. We change. There's something about us that changes. It's interesting that what we do with God is we typically will think the God that knows all about everything, that knows all of what I've done and what I've thought, has seen everything that I've done and probably knows what I'll do tomorrow, that we think somehow if we don't tell him, he doesn't know. And that hiddenness of that sin, the lack of confession of that sin, gets in the way of our relationship with him, gets in the way of our intimacy with him. I think that's also true in our relationships with our spouse. Whatever, if I can call it sins against each other, sometimes things that we just want to keep hidden, even if it's not technically a sin, things that get between us, it's usually the guilt of what I've done that gets in the way of my relationship, not the event itself. It is the fear of not knowing whether I'll get caught sometimes. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we hide from God, who already knows all about it. And it's our hidden sins against our partner, or even if it's not sin, it's our hidden activity that we do against our partner that keeps us from spiritual intimacy. This is, I think, also true in our relationship with other people as well. So in the workplace, if we've spoken ill about a coworker, then the next time we see them, the fact that we know that we spoke ill of them shows up in our interaction with them. Do you hear what I'm saying? They don't know that, but we do. And we think we're hiding it from them, but it really, something's different in the relationship, and the really intuitive person will read that and say, I wonder what's up with her. I wonder why she's doing that. So that also happens with our coworkers and with our boss and with our employees and others, but especially in that significant relationship between a husband and a wife. Intimacy. Here's another way of thinking about intimacy. Intimacy is into me, see. It's letting somebody look inside of me. It's not hiding what's inside of me, but sharing it. We're taught really young not to express everything that we think. You know, a four-year-old will say to me, "Where is your hair?" Right? What happened to your hair? Others of you will see me and not say it, but you'll think it. Right? I wonder what happened. Is he going through treatment? It's all kinds of things. So it is that thing that we learn early not to share everything about ourselves. And I think that's good. I mean, whenever I ask somebody, "How's your day?" I really don't want to hear everything about how their day is. But when I ask her, I want to know. And good isn't good enough. I want to know how it's going. I want her to let me open up a window and see inside of her. Guys, I know you're not as wordy as your counterpart. I know that. I mean, a really good example of that is how we greet each other. We were talking about greeting each other with a holy kiss. This is what it looks like frequently to me. Now, I may have it wrong, but this is what it looks like when you women see each other and you haven't seen each other for a couple of days. It's like, "Oh, how are you? It's so good to see you. Where'd you get those shoes? Woo! That purse, that does something, yeah. Well, it's good to see you. Well, tell Johnny hi." And then she walked up and said, "Did you see what she put together?" No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But the guys are more like this. This is our holy kiss. We see each other. No words. No comments, right? What is this? So I understand that we're different. That men are different than women. That we're some of that socialized in us. That we don't want to share. We don't want to open up. And we don't want to tell. And I tell you that keeping things from God gets in our way of our relationship with Him. And doesn't allow us to have intimacy. God sees us already. But it's what we think we're hiding from Him that's messing with our feeling like we're close to Him. And if you want to have a deep, wonderful relationship with your wife, turn and don't do the, and don't say good, but open your window up and let her see inside of you. The good and the bad, and the challenging. Let her see frustrations. And not, I don't mean just communicate your frustrations like, "I'm mad at you because," I'm saying, you know, let her see the challenges at work. How you feel about your kids. Be open and be intimate. So here's what happened with David. David's one of my favorite Bible characters, and I hope someday to have a conversation with him in heaven. But this is what happened with David. David committed a sin And then he committed another sin to cover up that sin, and then he committed another sin to cover up that sin. And so, you know, the down and dirty of it was he had a lot of sin that he was hiding from a lot of people. And somebody came and told him a message from God. And after he heard that, I believe that's when he wrote this song. And this is what he said. When I kept silent, in other words, when I kept it hidden, when I didn't let anyone in, when I didn't let God in, when I didn't let anybody see what was inside of me, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. What a beautiful picture. The king, David, the great king, but what you couldn't see on the inside is his bones were wasting away. Through my groaning all day long. Have you ever been in so much pain that you just felt like, oh, you know, every time you try to walk or step, oh, some of you people aren't old enough yet. Oh my, oh. Groaning all day long. If you've ever had a surgery and you've had wound care afterward or any of those, you know the pain that just stays with you. Groaning all day. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. The picture that I have of that is when it is a feeling of oppression, of being pushed down, of a heavy weight, a burden on my shoulder. And David's drawing this picture of us. Like when I kept it hidden, it just felt like I was carrying around all this weight. And I felt oppressed and down. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. I don't know if you had any of those days this summer where you were outside all day. But the summer that we just had at 100 plus will sap your energy away. And that's that feeling of being totally spent with not having the energy to even get up and get a drink or hit the restroom, just totally out, is the picture that I have of this. My strength was sapped in the heat of summer. And so this is the picture that David, who kept his sin away from God, and tried to hide his sin from everyone else, trying to keep things hidden, this is what it did to him. It's like rotten, it's like something rotten on the inside and just letting it be. I want to draw a picture before I read the rest of this. What do you think would happen if I accidentally had a wound, a flesh wound, that got into my muscle? What do you think might happen if I left it unattended? If it was untended, what might happen? You're right. It might get infected. Thank you. Yeah. And if I left it further untended, where might it hurt? It might not only hurt just where the wound was, but it might also hurt all around it. So that any time somebody touched anywhere near my wound, my original wound, I would still feel the pain as if it was the original wound. That's how I think. That's how I think about sin and things that we carry. Sometimes sins done to us and sometimes sins that we've committed that are left untended, that we've kept hidden, that we haven't shared, that we think God doesn't know or that we're somehow trying to hide from Him. In wound care, they will go in and clean all of that out. Very painful experience. But it's the only way. Yeah, sometimes it has to heal from the inside out. Has to be open for a long time and heal from the inside out. That wound care. But there's a day when you can look back at the scar. And you can see the pain that used to be there. But you can touch it and it doesn't hurt. So many times in our relationships, we have those wounds, those old, either sins that we're hiding or sins that, or things in our life that have been done to us that we're hiding from someone else. And we won't tell them what it is and we keep it hidden. But anytime something gets close to that, We react with the pain of the original sin. You hear? So instead of reacting with a little bit of pain of how she hurt me, I'm reacting with this much pain. And she's wondering, what in the world's going on? You got close enough to an old wound that was untended. And David finally, in the second part of this verse, David finally comes to the place. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover it up anymore. I didn't hide it anymore. And I said, I'll confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Many times the consequences of our decisions will go on and affect us for a long time. We can't undo, undo what are the consequences of some of our decisions, but we can get the healing from those decisions, and we can get the forgiveness, which is what only comes from God. So what do we do? Confession and prayer opens the door to spiritual intimacy. Confession and prayer open the door to spiritual intimacy. So where does our healing come from? Our healing comes from God. And our healing comes from... let me read the scripture because I think it'll help make the point. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Confess our sins to God? Yeah, Jesus says that he'll forgive us when we bring those to him. But in this scripture, he says, confess our sins to one another. Not only do we want to tell God, but we also want to tell each other. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be forgiven. Is that what it says?
No.
It says, confess your sins so that you may be healed. Something that is in the way of my relationship with my God and my spouse cannot be healed until I have a discussion with them about it and I ask for forgiveness. So the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So what do we do? Spiritual intimacy happens when I stop my self-deception and I stop hiding things from God and I open myself up to let her or him see inside of me. For those of you who are not yet, or maybe even not even dating yet, let me encourage you to find a way to be real in your relationships, to not hide everything, but to have a person or two. And the younger you are, more that person can be your parent, that you can have open discussion with. Let me ask you to do this, if you would. Bow your heads, and we'll pray here in just a minute. To think about somebody that we need to have a discussion with, maybe today, or at least early this week. Somebody that we know that we have wronged in some way, that we need to come to and say, I did that. I was wrong. Is there someone we need to talk to help them know that it's okay for them to tell us what their challenges are and what's going on with them, that we invite them to open their window to be intimate with us? I want to invite you to join me in a prayer. Father God, oh, I love you so much. Thankful you are who you are and that you made us the way that you made us. And God, for the things that I've done that I've tried to keep hidden from you, I ask for your forgiveness. And in my relationships, especially for me and those of us who are married, I ask that you give us the courage to have the conversations that open us up to our spouse and gives them an environment and a situation to be open themselves. Father God, bless every family that's here and represented here, every marriage, every budding relationship. Bless those who are single and or young, that they would find somebody that they can be fully open to, that loves you as much as they do. And for the next few minutes, I just ask that you put in our mind's eye the things that we need to do today to clean up and open up relationships so that we can be spiritually intimate again. And it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for inviting me here today. And we will have a response song, I believe, at this time. And as they're coming up, I want to encourage you, if you weren't planning to stay for Bible class, we're going to have a Bible class right across the hall. It is the topic today, doing life together forever. Singles and marrieds are welcome to come. Thank you.
Would you all rise with me as we sing Pure and Holy Passion?
Give me one pure and holy passion, and give me one magnificent possession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life. Know and follow after you.
Say it one more time. Give me one pure and holy passion.
Give me one pure and holy.